Welcome to this podcast from Riverside Church Whitstable. We hope you find it helpful and encouraging. If you would like to find out more information about us, why not check out our website at riversideuk.org, Facebook page, or follow us on Twitter at @WhitRiverside.
Good morning.
Good
morning. I felt loud there, but I am often loud, so it's fine. Right, this morning we are going to be continuing our series looking at the person of the Holy Spirit, looking at who he is, what he does, and how he relates to us. And we've done a bit of a deep dive into the Spirit over the last 6 weeks. We started by looking at the biblical narrative of the Spirit, how he reveals himself throughout the Old Testament as the power of God, and then throughout the New Testament as the presence of God. We then looked at his role as a comforter and the giver of hope. And then we've looked at how the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, and therefore, when we have the Spirit living in us, we become more like Jesus. And then a couple of weeks ago, we looked at how God speaks to us through the Spirit. And we looked at the dangers of seeking certainty in hearing his voice. And then last week, Simon looked at how through the Spirit, God gives us supernatural gifts in order to partner with us and in the inbreaking of the kingdom. So we're now at week seven of our 8-week series looking at all things Holy Spirit. And we've covered a great range of aspects of the Spirit, looking particularly so far at who the Spirit is and the purpose of the Spirit. And today we're going to have a really practical focus. We're going to be looking this morning at prayer ministry. What is prayer ministry? And what's the role of the Spirit in our times of prayer ministry? In fact, we're going to be focusing particularly on how can we get the most out of ministry time? We spent a lot of time asking the question over the last few weeks, who is the Spirit? And we've spent a lot of time asking the question, how does the Spirit work? And this morning, we're going to be looking at how can we partner with the Spirit? And how can we allow the Spirit to do the work in us that he wants to do? And now I recognise that those questions are pretty fundamental questions. Those questions are big questions to ask. And in reality, over these 6 weeks so far, we have been answering those questions. We've been looking at those questions of what it looks like to partner with the Spirit and what it looks like to go on in life filled with the Spirit and let the Spirit change and shape us. But today we're going to go more specific. We're going to look really specifically at talking mainly about how we can get the most of coming to church each week. How can we get the most out of coming to church each week? Or even more specific than that, how can we get the most out of the short time that we call ministry time, that takes place after the sermon on a Sunday morning? So we're going to be looking really specifically at that this morning. And I'm really aware in this room that there's a big diversity of church experience. Some of you may have been in church all your life. You've received practical teaching on prayer ministry and ministry time multiple times. But there will be others of us in this room that actually don't really know what I'm on about when I talk about the phrase ministry time or prayer ministry. So what I'm going to try to do this morning is be helpful for people on both ends of that spectrum. My plan's to start by getting us all on the same page and then to look at how we can grow both as a church and individually in these times. So we've got to start by asking, what is ministry time? What on earth am I on about when I say ministry time? I mentioned a few weeks ago that we've decided, since the turn of the year really, to go back to being intentional about leaving space at the end of the sermon. Before we finish our service, leaving space to wait on God and to invite each of us in this space to make an active response. To make an active response, to encourage a time for reflection, for waiting on God to speak to us, and for praying for one another in this time. We've made an effort since the turn of the year to make sure that we create space and we make time for God to meet with us in this place. And we call this time ministry time. And what we really mean is we are asking the Holy Spirit to come and to minister to us, to come close to us and to meet with us. And of course, we can do that in any place and at any time. We don't need to be in this building for God to meet with us. We don't need to be gathered together for God to come and meet with us. We can do that at any time. But this morning, we're going to be looking specifically at praying alongside someone else for the Spirit to come. Being prayed for and praying for. Being prayed for and praying for. So why do we do this? Why have we prioritized this? Why have we decided to make it part of this series? Why do we carve out the time for it? Well, firstly and fundamentally, we prioritize making space intentionally planning time for God to minister to us, because in doing so, he draws near to us. He draws near to us. At the very beginning, God's heart was to be close to us, to be with us, to be alongside us. And it continues today to be his greatest desire. God's greatest desire is to be close to us. If you step back and look at the narrative of Scripture, you see a love story. A story of a God who's desperate for closeness with each and every single one of us. A God who is desperate for closeness with his creation and fights to win us back, to win our closeness. It starts in Genesis when you read of the story of the Garden of Eden, God and his creation walking alongside one another. No barriers between his presence and ours. And then as we continue reading, we see how humanity turns its back on his presence and decides to prioritize our own wants. Yet God at no point gives up on seeking closeness with us. And this is, of course, epitomized by Jesus coming on earth as God made man, walking with his people. Walking again with his people. Just like he did in Eden. And whilst this was great, whilst it was great that God was walking with his people again, Jesus was not omnipresent. We've talked about this quite a few times over these last few weeks. He was only able to be in one place at one time. So while symbolically we see God walking alongside humanity in the person of Jesus, the reality is only a small proportion of humanity were able to live in the reality of it. Only a small proportion of humanity lived in the reality of walking alongside Jesus. So Jesus sends his spirit. He says, it'll be better when I go because I'll send you my spirit to be with you and to stay with you, to live amongst us and in us at all times. And as you fast forward to the end of this story, the end of the love story, we see prophecies of the future, a future time from today, found in Revelation, where we will walk alongside God again. We will walk alongside God again. A day where God's fight for closeness will be complete, where his love story will reach a conclusion. The story of the universe, of creation, of our lives is a story of God seeking intimacy and closeness with every single one of us. That is the overriding story of my life. That's the overriding story of your life. Even if you don't feel like that is the overriding story, the scripture says that God wants to be close with you. He wants to walk alongside you. So the overriding story above everything else, above everything that you do, is that God is seeking intimacy with you. Every single day, every single moment, God is seeking intimacy with you. And that's brilliant news, but sometimes my life doesn't reflect a person who's created for closeness with God. Sometimes my life doesn't reflect a person whose overriding story is God seeking closeness with me. In fact, my life can become so full of busyness and chaos and wants and needs that closeness with God can easily become an afterthought in my life. A narrative in my life that takes the back seat. That I always know is there, but it's never really my priority. I always know that God's wanting closeness with me, but if I was to do examination of my life, if I was to look at the time that I spend doing different things, if I was to look at my life, I'd be kidding myself to say that the main focus is closeness with God. The narrative of my life is that closeness with God, intimacy with God, often takes the back seat. That I always know is there, but it is not my priority. Yet, in God's grace, he says, I still want closeness with you, my child. I still want intimacy with you, my child. However low on my priority list intimacy with God becomes, it continues to be the number one thing on God's priority list. However low it becomes on my priority list, it continues to be God's number one priority, intimacy with you. And this is why we intentionally carve out time without any distractions, without any other agenda, to say to God, here I am. Here I am. And to allow him to come near to us, to minister to us, to meet with us. We give space to God, even if it is sometimes just these 15, 20 minutes after the sermon on a Sunday. We give space to God, carve out this time, prioritize this time to lean into closeness with him and to let him minister to us. And we also prioritize this time because in his closeness, in close proximity with God, he begins to work in and through us. I think it's really easy today to be what I would call a Sunday Christian. To go to church each week, to be part of a church community, to have a lot of knowledge about the Bible or about faith or about God or an aspect of faith, but to never really allow this head knowledge, this routine, to affect our lives and change our hearts. And simply, this is a result of going to church but never letting God in. Going to church but never letting God in. Coming on a Sunday morning and thinking, well, wasn't that great? That was a good service, a good talk, good worship and all that. Or equally, that wasn't a very good service. I got bored by that talk and none of my favourite worship songs were played and, oh, what a waste of time. And both of these responses, both that was a great service, I really enjoyed it, and that was a rubbish service, I didn't enjoy it, both of those responses miss the point completely. It leaves out the key response, which is always this: God, how do you want me to respond to this morning? God, how can I go deeper with you? How can I be more like Jesus as a response of what happened this morning? How can I draw closer to you, God? And that is what ministry time is all about. Ministry time is all about asking those questions. God, how do you want me to respond? God, how can I go deeper in your love? How can I draw closer to you as a response to maybe what I heard this morning or what I feel like you might be saying this morning or what I sung in the time of worship this morning? It's all about saying to God, how can what I just heard, that head knowledge, translate into my life, into my heart? How can what I just heard translate into my life? Because it is so easy. And I think we've all go through periods of our life where we do this, to just go through the motions. To just go through the motions of coming to church and hearing someone speak or being part of worship and going through the same thing every single week and listening and moving on with our lives and getting on with it. But ministry time is about saying, God, how can what I just heard translate into my life? And when we carve out time, we're giving space both for us to reflect and for God to speak. We're refusing to say, great, now let's get on with my busy life. We're refusing to say, great, that was good, let's go have a coffee. But instead, we're saying, we're asking God, what do you want me to do with this? What do you want me to take from this? What are you trying to show me in this? Because the truth is, God never intends for us to leave a service unchanged and unaffected. God never intends for us to leave a service unchanged and unaffected. But sometimes we can rush away before we allow him to meet with us, before we ask God, what are you wanting me to do? This change comes not from having more knowledge, not from understanding better theology through what was said. It comes from the impact and the work of the Spirit in our lives. And it must be said at this point that sometimes the Spirit changes us throughout the background of our lives. Sometimes the Spirit changes us simply by living in us, which everyone who follows Jesus has the Spirit living in us. And the Spirit does naturally and organically shape us to look more like Jesus. But sometimes we need to be refilled with the Spirit. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to rest on us again, to relight our fire. D.L. Moody once said that he needs to be continuously filled by the Spirit because he leaks. He said this: the fact is, we are leaky vessels, and we have to keep right under the fountain all the time to keep full of Christ, and so that we have a fresh supply. So do I believe in the second blessing? He says, yes, I do. And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. Although every follower of Jesus is given the gift of the Holy Spirit, we also read Paul tell the Ephesians, go on being filled with the Spirit. That's in Ephesians 5:18. And we read the disciples in the book of Acts being filled with the Spirit on multiple occasions. There's three occasions in Acts where the same disciples are filled again with the Spirit in order to go out and live out their calling. Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit: on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were yet to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as a river of living water that anyone can come to for a drink. Not a dormant pool that you get soaked in, but a stream of flowing living water that whenever you are thirsty, you can go and take a drink. So what might the Spirit do? What might the Holy Spirit do in us as we drink from this living water, as we give space for him to fill us again? Well, everything that the Spirit does is to bring kingdom into our lives. So in his closeness, he heals us. He comforts us. He gives rest. He empowers us. He guides us. He speaks love to and over us, and he assures us. And that's why it's so worth it. That's why it's so essential for us to give space to wait on the Spirit, to be refilled by the Spirit. And this is why we leave space after sermon on a Sunday morning to do this. So that all of us, each one of us, has this chance, this moment, this prioritized time to respond to anything that may have challenged us, or to seek the Spirit to refill us, to give us those things. Or to ask for prayer for something that's happened during the week, or for any other reason, just to be filled again with the Spirit. That his kingdom will break through in our lives and that we would know his love on a deeper level. So we give time to pray with one another, simply to ask, Holy Spirit, will you come and fill us again? Holy Spirit, will you come and minister to us? Will you work in us? Will you meet with us? And it might be that you've never responded to that call. That moment where the person speaking says, right, if anyone wants to respond to this, why don't you do so? Why don't you ask the Spirit to come, or why don't you come forward, or any of those things? It may be that you've never really responded in these times. Maybe you feel uncomfortable doing so, that it feels a little bit vulnerable or a little bit scary to ask someone to come and pray alongside you or to ask the Spirit to fill you again. But I want to encourage you that this is the most natural thing you could possibly do, because it's what God created you for. God created us for intimacy and closeness with him. And it's from the place of his presence that he heals, restores, comforts, guides, empowers, gives rest, and speaks love. So it's always, always God's heart to be close with us. And he will always do everything to draw near to us as we seek him. So I want to encourage you, if you are someone that feels a bit on edge in this time, that this really is the most natural thing you can do. This is going back to your created purpose, to be close with the Father. So I just want to ask a little bit here, what is our role as we stand alongside someone else in prayer ministry? As we pray for and with someone. One of the great things about how God works is he could do all of this himself. But when God moves, he chooses to partner with us. He wants to take us on a ride, on a journey with him. And we see this throughout scripture. As the Israelites are freed from slavery in Egypt, he uses Moses. Throughout Jesus' life, he would probably be more effective on his own, more efficient on his own without the disciples, but he chooses to bring them alongside him. And with the Holy Spirit, God chooses to work in and through us, with us, alongside us. And just like the gifts of the Spirit that Simon spoke about last week, God chooses to work through us as we pray for someone else. In standing alongside one another and inviting the Spirit to do his work amongst us. Not because we have anything special to give in that moment, but because God chooses to involve us in what he is doing. So God says this, he says, this is how it's going to work. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. We have a role in this. Our prayers, our asks, our wants have power that's been given by God. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And Jesus actually says, if you guys who are broken manage to still give good gifts to children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit when you ask? How much more will the Father give the gift of the Spirit when you say, Holy Spirit, will you come? So in these moments where someone is seeking God's spirit, maybe because they want comfort or healing or just want to receive his love or to be refilled or empowered or guidance or whatever it is, we gather alongside them and we pray with them and for them. Not because we have what they need, but to make space for the one who does have what they need. And it's really important that we live by, we understand and we live out that this is for everyone. It's not for the pro prayers or a special pastor privilege. It's not for the particularly holy people. In fact, his power is made perfect in our weakness, in our humility, in our understanding that we do not have what the person wants, but God does. He uses and moves through us as we pray for someone else. Because the authority of the Spirit is not based on us or what we say or what we do. It's simply based on God. Not in our ability or adequacy. Even today, there are so many in big conferences, wherever you go, you will see people queue up for the person that has spoken or for a particular person that's thought of as being a great holy prayer, for them to pray alongside the person seeking prayer. But it's not about the person praying. It's not about the person praying. It's about the person ministering, and that's God. It's all about the Spirit. It's not about our ability. And there's no magic formula. There's no magic formula in praying for someone. There's no technique that we can master to ensure that the Spirit will then come and do his thing. Our role as the person praying is to stand alongside the person receiving, invite God, and then to wait with them and alongside them as God meets with them. We don't kill it with words. We don't preach at them. We do everything we can to support them, but to get out of the way and let God do what he wants to do. If I'm praying for someone, I have an order that I will always follow. My order is this. The first thing I will always do is stand alongside. I'll stand alongside the person I am praying for and ask them what they want prayer for. So I'll stand alongside them and I'll ask them. They might not have something specific that they want prayer for, but in this moment, my priority is that the person I'm praying for feels safe and feels comfortable. If I don't know them, I'll probably introduce myself. I'll ask their name. And I might ask, do you mind if I lay my hand on your shoulder as I pray? We tend to stand in front of the person and keep our eyes open, not for any special reason other than we can then see what God is doing. If there's any visible signs of something that God's doing, if we're in front of them and our eyes are open, we can see those things. And I also think it's ideal. We've kind of got out of the habit of doing this here. It's ideal for two people to pray for someone. And the reason is, again, not for any special reason or anything about the number three or anything ridiculous like that. It's simply because when there are two people praying, there are four ears listening. When there are two people praying, there are also two people listening to what might God be doing, what might God be saying in this moment. So step one, I'll stand alongside and ask them if there's anything specific they want prayer for. Step two, I'll invite God, and then this is the really clever bit. I'll then just wait. And the waiting's really important because sometimes it feels difficult not to fill this moment with words. Because we can sometimes feel a little bit awkward in these situations, just standing in quiet. But it's a moment to remind ourselves that we don't have what they need. God has what they need. And in my waiting, I will silently be asking God if there's anything he wants me to share. But I'll put absolutely no pressure on this. It can feel tempting in this moment to feel as though we need to have some kind of prophetic word, as if it's a measure of holiness or success of the prayer. But again, there is absolutely no pressure for us to do anything. We wait and we let God meet with them. Finally, I'll speak. And often my speaking is very simply, is God doing anything? Or do you want me to keep praying? Because it can sometimes be hard to know when to finish praying for someone. And we suddenly get awkward in these situations. Or we over-spiritualize our part. But we can just ask. We can be normal about these things. We don't need to be weird in these moments. We could be normal. Say, is God doing anything? Do you want me to continue? Or do you want me to finish? But sometimes, occasionally, it might be that God's spoken to me about something to share into their lives. Maybe a prophetic word or something that I may feel like God's wanting to say. And as Simon said last week, we only share in that moment if it's encouraging and uplifting. And equally, we only share humbly. We use phrases like, I feel like God might be saying, rather than God is saying to you. And if I share something, I will wait, I will pray, Holy Spirit, come, and then I'll wait again. One of the most important things about these ministry times is that we try to be normal about it. I fear that many people won't come forward or won't respond in these moments because they're afraid of what someone might say to them or what might happen to them. But again, the reality is waiting on God and inviting him to come, to draw near, is the most natural thing that we could ever do. We were created for this reason, for closeness with God, and to share it with one another. So God would do everything to draw close to his people. So all we do in this moment is we make space. We create time. And we say, Holy Spirit, come. So why don't we do that now? Will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening. If you would like to contact us about this talk, to hear more or find out about Riverside Church Whitstable, then visit our website at riversideuk.org. Also, you can contact us through our Facebook page or tweet us at @WhitRiverside.